Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q4 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vaishnavi Manjanya from Anand Rathi. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, hi. I would like to thank, welcome everyone to Agrotech's Q4 FY20 earnings conference call. From the management, we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, the Managing Director, and Mr. K.P.N. Srinivas, the CFO. We'll begin the call with a brief discussion on the quarter results, and post that we'll have a Q&A. Mr. Sachin, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Vaishnavi. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for waiting patiently for one more day for the results. We figured you'd need to know what is happening right now in the business, and since today is the first, it is better to wait for a day or so to give you a perspective on how the first 2 months of the quarter are going. All right, so we'll spend a little time on last year, on quarter four of FY20, and also give you a perspective on the full year, and then we'll also move in to the first 2 months of this year, for which you would have noticed we've already posted an investor highlight summary. Okay, so we saw strong growth in the foods business in FY20. The foods business grew in total up to about by 18% to about 64 crores, ending up with a full year growth of about 15% to 259 crores, or about 31% of our revenue, with total revenue growing by about 1%. Now, of course, like many other companies, we didn't really make significant shipments in the last week of March. So just to provide perspective to you, the foods growth in the quarter as of the 24th of the month, right, so just about the time when the lockdown began, was clocking at about 29%, right? So I think it's reasonable to assume that if the lockdown hadn't happened, and what would our running rate have been, because that's a good indicator of how the business is doing, what's going right, what's going wrong, is unlikely to have been lower than 18%, and probably would have been somewhere between 18%-29%. Our management assessment is a conservative figure of about 22%-23%, because pricing in a year varies as compared to, as it could vary as compared to the prior year. So you can see, if you look at the business by each of the individual food categories, ready-to-cook snacks was up about 16% in volume and about 17% in value. Ready-to-eat snacks, this was really the category which was the most affected by COVID-19, and that's evident as well when you see the first 2 months of this quarter, although there's a bit of manufacturing choices also that we made along the way. But certainly, retail contraction has had the most impact on out-of-home consumption, if you will, right? So this category really did see a significant impact of COVID, with volume growth of about 13% and value growth of 7%. In terms of spreads, we saw volume growth of 18% and a value growth of 17%. So more or less now spreads pacing, both value and volume pacing in line. This is partly also helped by the launch of chocolate spreads, because the revenue per ton from a chocolate spread is higher than the revenue per ton on peanut butter. So we've talked about this earlier. And cereals and confectionery today together added about 250 basis points to the growth in the last quarter. Sorry, in the last year, on a full year basis, and probably about 500 basis points in quarter four. Our estimate, as you recall, was that we launched four new products last year. One is sweet corn, one is chocolate spreads, one is cereals, and one is chocolate confectionery. Our estimate was that these categories are capable of delivering another 500 to 1,000 basis points of growth, and that seems to be pretty much coming through as per prediction. In terms of edible oils, we were committed to getting to a 100 index or to a 100 index on volume in the year. We took a lot of pricing corrections in the back half, despite very significant commodity input price increases, particularly in the second half of the year, right? We've been working on the price correction actually not only in the second half but prior to that as well. So I think we've managed to make a significant impact to try and ensure that our price value equation is, if you will, in order, or is manageable given the fact that, you know, it's a category that we need to use the funding available from that category to transform the business. And Crystal had a reasonably okay quarter. It's a commodity business. It tends to have enough ups and downs. So it's closed the year really with about a 6% lower value. So overall, therefore, net sales for the year were about 1% higher than prior year. As you can see from the P&L, our employee benefits were kind of more or less the same as prior year. A&P was a little higher than prior year. It's about 4 crores or 2.5 crores in media. And 1.5 crores is promotion. So we needed to beef up our A&P levels, right? Which we've done last year. And as the notes mentioned, the depreciation amortization includes an amount of 0.65 crores on adoption of the Ind AS 116 leases. The total depreciation, of course, for the quarter at 4.8 crores benefited from the non-operation of the Unnao facilities, right? So broadly, top line growth of about 1%, foods growing significantly by about 15%, more than offsetting the entire attrition that we saw in the edible oils top line. However, foods were unable to entirely offset the attrition in gross margin that we saw in edible oils, right? So our calculation therefore is that the company reached a stage now where attrition in edible oils we should be able to easily offset through a robust growth in the foods business, right? However, we are yet to reach fully the point where gross margin attrition and then positive gross margin growth can offset any risk in gross margin attrition on the edible oil business. But we are getting there, and I would say we are almost there. In total, therefore, in gross margin, just to provide you the perspective, we saw an attrition for the year of about, the way we do the math, of about 16 crores in edible oil. So we had very high edible oil prices in the back half of the year. We had already started price correction, which was well underway. And we had a foods gross margin growth of about 12%. That left an uncovered gross margin gap of about 4 crores at the high level just after primary trade. You can see from the ad that our A&P spends were higher by 4 crores. So that gives a total of 8 crores. And we also had secondary freight, which we don't take in our gross margin calculation, higher by 2 crores. So that gives you the math behind the 10 crores, which is the impact on profit before tax. From profit after tax, obviously we benefited from the lower tax rate, both on the current year and as well as on the deferred tax benefits. And therefore, we were able to net out at about 34 odd crores. So that's a high-level look at the P&L for last year. I'm not going to spend more time on it because I'm sure you guys will be very interested in what is happening in the quarter. So we'll try and give you the perspective. Let me check with Srinu. Is there anything else, Srinu, you think I need to call out? All good? Okay. Yeah. But one thing maybe, Srinu, I should just give you a perspective because it's a check that we do at the end of the year, and after that we leave it to you to do the match. Broadly speaking, how does our 259 crores of foods turnover last year break up? It breaks up into 55% is the contribution from the ready-to-cook segment, 18% from the ready-to-eat segment, 23% from spreads, and 2% from cereals and confectionery, and about 2% from the vending business, under 2% from the vending business. So the good news also is that our exposure to out-of-home from a vending perspective now is very low. Now, we'll try and give you a perspective on what has happened post the lockdown and for the first 2 months of this year. As you would have seen from the interim highlights that we gave you, we saw a pretty strong rebound in May, which has helped us deliver a quarter-to-date growth of about 6% in the food business. And a diversified portfolio is certainly helping us to navigate COVID-19 in many ways, many of which are subtle, many of which are not so subtle. But before I go into the category-wise details, let me give you an update from an operational standpoint. So if you look at the part that we've given you, which is current operational status, Our plants and warehouses are all open and but with intermittent closures. Some of the warehouses, if it falls into a containment zone at that point in time for that many days, has been closed. But more or less all the plants started off at different stages in a graded fashion. Right. What we have done, however, is push back the startup of the new food plants at Chittoor and Unnao. Both of these are almost ready. In one case, you know, all the machinery, everything is laid out, one at Chittoor. But we are waiting for different reasons. In one case, like in Unnao, there was a little civil work pending, and in Chittoor, we are actually waiting for the engineer to come from overseas for the actual installation who couldn't come. So we have to figure out alternate ways to do it. Though offices are open, office functioning continues to be primarily from home, right? That's true for our corporate office and our registered office. Field sales functioning has steadily improved as more retail stores start to open. So we'll be up north of 80% now in terms of field sales functioning. And probably about 3/4 of the universe of stores that we cover, maybe about 3 out of the 4 lakh stores that we cover are kind of open right now, right? But it varies, right? It varies by area. Many of you are from Bombay, so you know Bombay has different hours. It varies from city to city. Okay. In terms of consumption trends, by virtue of the fact that we are competing in multiple categories, we can see some clear trends emerging. One is that greater in-home consumption is positively impacting ready-to-cook products, premium edible oils. So why are we differentiating between premium edible oils and lower-priced edible oils? Is that the lower-priced edible oils, which is largely crystal, but also some amount of sunrock at the bottom of the table, also includes large packs of 15 liters, which are to a fairly significant extent consumed by caterers, restaurants, so on and so forth. Right? Premium edible oil, which is the consumer pack side of it, is really, therefore, because people are spending more time at home, so they're cooking an extra meal, right? So we are seeing the impact of that. Spreads, and we can see that in peanut butter to some extent, but certainly in chocolate spreads, where you can see a lot of out of stocks, not only for us as we endeavor to meet with demand, but also for other competitors. So people are spending more time again consuming more spreads. And breakfast cereals. Again, people spending more time here. Breakfast cereals is a nice category relative to a snack when you're spending more time at home. Right? You are unlikely to use breakfast cereal as a snack if you are entertaining somebody, but you are highly likely to use a breakfast cereal as a snack if you are consuming just by yourself. So these consumption trends in relating to in-home consumption are not peculiar to India. We are seeing that in other parts of the world as yet. It's visible. You would have read about it. You can see the interviews in North America for different companies, right? Certainly, products which lend themselves to in-home consumption are doing better than those that lend themselves to out-of-home consumption. And that brings us to the second point, which is lower out-of-home consumption and even to an extent impulse purchase. If you were walking the aisle of a store or checking out and you saw something interesting, you bought it, you're not going to be able to. You're not really interested in doing that right now. You're interested in completing your transaction as quickly and as safely as possible. So this is negatively impacting ready-to-eat snacks, vending business, but which is small for us now, and bulk packs of sunrock and crystal edible oils. To give you a perspective, the bulk packs for the bottom end of the portfolio are range from about 60 to 65% of the bottom end. Okay, so there is some impact of that, but I'll come to that and share with you the details when we come to the category-wise numbers. In anticipation of a slowing economy, we've imposed very tight control on costs, which have been effective April 1st, which tend to help the P&L a lot because a very large part of our SG&A is actually sales, right? They're very overweighted on the sales function. And the reason is because we're building up for growth, right? The kind of sales network that we have is basically wired for a food business, which is at least 2 to 3 times what it is today, right? So we're spending that money, but obviously as the retail stores contracted, people were not traveling in the early part of the quarter, therefore we were able to control all the costs therein. So that I think we are in reasonably good shape. However, A&P levels are being maintained in line with prior year spends. We see this period as a good opportunity to invest in the business. It's not a period to actually cut your advertising spends. Because you end up getting very good value for money. So we were on air in the month of May. Normally we never are because of IPL. And we would have gotten at least 20 to 25% better rates than we would normally have got if we were buying media. And the reason is a lot of the big advertisers pulled out and there was enough inventory available. Okay, so let me now go through the details as far as each of the categories are concerned. So you can see it's a V-shaped kind of curve in many categories, but not in all, and I'll explain why. So ready-to-cook snacks, you can see we were flat on volume in the month of April versus prior year. And value we were down actually 2%, but May came by very strongly. So we ended up with a quarter of about 26% growth in revenue. Of this 26% growth in revenue, if you see the commentary on the right-hand side, about 380 basis points is coming from sweet corn. So if you take that out, it means popcorn has grown in the quarter. Ready-to-cook popcorn has grown by about 22%. Ready-to-eat snacks, as we mentioned, both the bulk of the impact of COVID with about a 42% decline in quarter to date driven by retail contraction and choices in manufacturing. So we would believe about half of this is due to demand and half of this is due to our manufacturing choices, right? So what do we mean by that? The plants that make ready-to-cook popcorn also make ready-to-eat popcorn, right? And as the plant started working, we obviously had, it took some time to get the rhythm back. In many cases, there were labor controls. There were timing controls on how many hours we were allowed, by what time the labor could come in the morning, by what time they could go in the evening. And quite naturally, therefore, across our multiple plants, the choices would have been made would be in terms of what is the right choice that we are making from a strategic and a P&L perspective, right? So clearly, ready to cook is a very important category for us, right? And we would have made that choice that look, instead of making ready to cook popcorn, eat popcorn, let's divert the labor into ready to cook popcorn, because even on ready to cook, as of now, we are still not able to supply demand, right? So the number that you see here is the maximum scaling up that we could do. We took the action necessary, and I would believe that in the back half of May, obviously, we've been able to scale up quite effectively. If you had to ask me a hypothetical question on if we had not made manufacturing choices away from ready-to-eat snacks in favor of ready-to-cook snacks, probably this number would have been better. It would have been better by, we would have been down only about 20% or so. Right. But some amount definitely we would have been down because there was a significant contraction in the retail, number of retail stores. In the spread category, we saw different trends. For peanut butter, we clearly saw that there is an increase in in-home consumption of peanut butter, which is being consumed as a spread. But equally, as we mentioned in the commentary, there's been a lower level of physical activities. Fewer people are going to the gym. Well, fewer means almost nobody is going to the gym other than if they have an in-home gym. And as a consequence, therein, the intake of protein, of the amount of peanut butter being consumed as a pure protein, would definitely have come down, right? So that's the reason you can see, we said there's been a moderate growth in spreads. We saw about 100 odd basis points in peanut butter, but more than 400 basis points being supported by chocolate spreads. This has been actually a good period for us to have our new products, right? Because when people are consuming a lot more at home and a lot of our products are oriented towards that. Right, so if you take a look at the four new products that we launched, sweet corn, 100% oriented towards in-home consumption, right? Chocolate spread, our chocolate spread, definitely a little like Nutella, which is often used by people, meaning vending stores, etc., right, who use it as an accompaniment for other items. Our chocolate spread is not there for in-home consumption, certainly a very, very good opportunity for us to get good trials. And same thing holds for breakfast cereals, not for the 10 rupee packs, but for the larger packs, the 60 rupee packs, the 175 odd rupee larger canister that we have. A great time to actually get trials for these products, right? And take advantage of any supply chain deficits that would have occurred in the competitive scenario. So overall, I would say spreads getting some positive momentum and chocolate spreads also doing well now. So we can expect to see continued good growth there. Cereals and confectionery together accounted for about 250 basis points of growth. Cereals, I would say, was pretty much available. So this is fully reflective of demand. Confectionery, we made some choices in the Jhagadia plant where chocolates are manufactured, because we also That's also the place where peanut butter is manufactured, and clearly that could have been a very high priority for us given our leadership position in the segment. And therefore, we chose to focus in the initial period on that. Right. In the case of edible oils, you can see a common picture between volume and value for Sunrock and Crystal. Right. In other words, there is a difference between both of them of about 1,000 basis points between volume and value, right? So let me elaborate. Now you can see that on a quarter-to-date basis, volume was down 15% for edible oil Sunrock, and value was down 5%. So in other words, there is a built-in pricing per ton of about 1,000 basis points. Ditto on Crystal, you can see volume was up about was down about 8%, value was up about 4%. So there's a 1,200 basis points thing, again, on account of pricing per ton. But the reasons are very different. In the case of Crystal, the reason is that this is about the kind of price increase that Sunflower Oil has seen between quarter one of this year and quarter one of last year. Right? The bulk of this is due to pricing. There's some amount due to pack mix between small packs and big packs. But the bulk of it is pricing. Right? So that is because this we basically work on a pass-through basis. Right? It's a cost-plus model and we sell on that basis. In the case of Sunrock, that's different. In the case of Sunrock, the difference is that the realization per ton is higher because we saw a lot of demand of premium edible oils. We struggled to actually keep pace with the demand. I think we're still getting to that stage, right? And therefore, the price per ton is higher because we made manufacturing choices to supply some SKUs at the cost of other SKUs. Okay, that doesn't mean that at the bottom end of the Sunrock, where there is the lower priced edible oils, where there is bulk pack, there is some attrition there because of out of home. But these numbers reflect the higher premiumization within the mix, right, in a constrained supply situation or a constrained capacity situation, right, particularly in the early part of the 2 months. And which therefore will help to offset the cost increase that we saw on sunflower oil, which is very evident in the Crystal part of the business. Okay. Alright, so I think I've captured, most of the commentary, and you have more or less all the details that you need. So Vaishnavi, it's over to you, and we can do the Q&A. May I move to the Q&A now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, super. Thank you.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So my first question is on edible oils. So your main competition in the premium edible oil space has for the March quarter reported a significant uptick in the reported numbers, and their commentary also is that consumption is really increasing and that trend is there because people are at home and using more oils, and obviously in premium edible oils the share of out of home is more. So if there's a shift of consumption from out of home to in home, it obviously sort of is positive for premium edible oil brands. So just wondering why we have not seen a similar kind of trend in our numbers. That is one. Secondly, on ready to cook popcorn. Again, it being an in-home category, are you actually seeing an increase in demand versus a normal state due to COVID lockdowns, etc.? People are at home, having nothing to do, watching movies and eating popcorn. Is that kind of thing sort of playing out? And thirdly, your gross margin pressure that we've seen this quarter with the kind of choices of SKUs, etc. that you've made in edible oil. Do you see that gross margin on a YOY basis in June quarter will not contract anymore? That's it from my side.
Thank you. So I think on the last question, as you know, we won't be providing as usual any forward-looking information. So I think you have the data available to you. and you know, both in terms of cost and in terms of mix. So you'll have to make your judgment call on that. As far as edible oils is concerned, and you know what you mentioned about our competitor, honestly, that's a question that you know is, I think, best addressed to them. We would like to make comments on a competitor, and you know, what is their cost of doing such actions, right? Because we actually don't have any visibility on margin from a total premium edible oil category. We do provide you guys all the visibility that you need, but the sum of the total is not available to us. Let's have a look. We've already mentioned that yes, there has been an increase in the premium edible oil consumption, and that we are talking about this quarter, right? Okay. Anything for last quarter is very difficult to call out because frankly, the lockdown was only 7 days in last quarter, right? So I would say it will be very, very difficult to make any judgments on a quarter basis of 7 day lockdown. We certainly won't endeavor to make it. So let's see, we'll have a look at the data of other companies as and when it comes out, right?
Our understanding this quarter, if I might just interject 1 minute, even this quarter your volume is down 15. So just any sort of color you can give on that also would be helpful.
Yeah, if you'll allow me, I'll finish and then, you know, I'll take more questions from you at the end of the queue, as is always the case, right? Because
yeah, sure. Absolutely.
My apologies for that, okay?
Not at all.
So we'll have a look. Let's see. We've given you a perspective of how the first 2 months of the quarter are going, and we'll update you as the quarter ends, right? In terms of ready to cook, certainly. I think certainly there is a greater. This is not unique to India. It is unique. It is true for most parts of the world, which is that with more people staying at home, they're consuming more, right? That's the commentary that we've given at the bottom of the table. Premium edible oils, breakfast cereals, spreads, ready to cook, these are all showing it and it's visible in the numbers, right? Are we currently able to supply to demand? I think the answer is no. So let us see as we ramp up manufacturing and we scale it up, what the final number is. I think you'll have to wait till the end of the quarter for that. Right? Again, I won't give you a judgment, but you can also do the math. You've seen what the April one month is out of the three, you know what the second month is out of the three. Let's take a call on what the third month looks like and we'll get a reasonable estimate of the weighted average, right? All your max is much better than mine. Okay.
Sure.
So thanks, Percy. Okay. Take care. Have a good day. And, yeah. Next question, Vaishnavi. And if there's time, Percy, I'll 100% come back to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The next question is from Sachin Himani from Corporate Research Fund. Please go ahead. Sachin Himani from Corporate Research. You may go ahead with your question. There seems to be no response from the line of saying honey. We move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Poddar from Perfect Value Fund.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Sir, I have a couple of questions and listing them together.
Mm-hmm.
First, can you throw some light on competitive intensity in the peanut butter segment and what are the steps you are currently taking to increase the market share of peanut butter segment? And second, can you please share the category-wise revenue breakup of branded foods?
So, the second question I've already answered. If you go into the recording, you'll find that I covered it about 5 minutes ago. Okay. On the first one, competitive intensity in peanut butter, certainly there is. It's we have a good market share. Our, I think our Euromonitor estimate of share is about 33-34%. So, yeah, and you know, that's probably double of the next person. So I think we are in a very comfortable, strong position. We have taken all the pricing actions and quality and range actions required in the last 2 to 3 years to be able to have a very strong position in the category. There was a time about 18 months ago when we felt we were losing share, and I think even though we don't buy audit data, we had communicated that to the street. We feel that time was got over about 10 to 12 months. We tend to see an increase in competitive intensity whenever peanut prices are low, right? So whenever peanut prices are low, a lot of people come into the market, they think they'll make some money, you know, they'll come to retailers and other people, right? And then it kind of dies off, the level of competitive intensity. So right now competitive intensity is, I would say, probably a little on the low side because peanut prices are very high. But as the crop comes and it's released, I'm sure there'll be more people attempting to come. It'll be a never-ending battle, but we need to keep spending money, and you know, we need to keep investing in media behind the business, build a rock solid brand, which we are doing, and I think we are in very good shape.
Okay. I have also questions regarding like in-house supply of nachos. Like, have we been able to resume the in-house supply of nachos?
Ha, so we follow one rule, partner, which is that you have to ask your question in the first one. Otherwise, we, you know, we can have a long conversation with only one person. So I have, like Percy, I have put you at the end of the queue. If there's time, I'll answer your question. Okay, I apologize for that. But you have to stick to some rules. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Next question.
Next question is from Anil Desai from Turkey Capital. Please go ahead.
So three questions from my side. The first one is, you know, with respect to our, you know, positioning in in-house consumption things, you know, a lot of our new products are in-house consumption, as you mentioned. So this is the time where, you know, the consumption is actually happening the fastest. So what are we doing to ensure that some of these things become either habit forming, like, you know, ready to cook popcorn, or, you know, what are the initiatives that we are taking to ensure that we make, you know, maximum out of that? That is my first question. Second is, you know, if I, you know, if you listen to a lot of calls of a consumer company, almost everybody talks about some kind of a channel rejig, which is, you know, which, you know, everybody is contemplating more direct to consumer channels, more e-commerce channels, and probably the endless dominance on wholesale side of it. So, you know, how are we thinking about our channel distribution? If you can expand on that. And the last one is, I think if I remember correctly, in the Q3 call, you know, we were mentioning that we have taken some kind of a price action on our edible oil side to ensure that, you know, we protect our gross margins and go back to earlier levels. So, in spite of that, I think, you know, we've seen some erosion in our gross margins, even QOQ. So, any color on that would be very helpful. That's it.
Oh, thank you. So, they're all very good questions. So, the first point as far as your new products is concerned, we just need to get availability, right? So, meaning all these four products, which is sweet corn, chocolates, breakfast cereals, and chocolate spread, we just need to make them available, right? And that has to be across all channels, and it's happening, right? So as we scale it up, as I said, our estimate was that these products will add between 500 to 1000 basis points of growth, and you can see that's true even right now as we speak, right? So if you take the first 2 months of the year, cereals and chocolate confectionery are adding about 250 basis points. If you take the 380 basis points of sweet corn, which is about say rounded off to 400, and multiply it by the 55% share of ready to cook, that's about 220 basis points. So that's 470 basis points. And if you take the 400 basis points of spread, which is about 23% of the business, that's another 80 basis points. You're looking at between 500 and 600 basis points, even right now, where we would have definitely made choices in favor of our core businesses at a time when we didn't have an adequate labor at the plant or anything like that. So I think all of these products are doing very well. I have to say, and it would have been very difficult for us to have completed this amount of innovation right now. It's very hard because innovation requires an intense amount of collaboration between us, the plant where it's being done, so on and so forth. We're really very fortunate that we were able to complete it and put it into the system. It's getting listed now in the modern trade also. These listings are happening. And we will also definitely take advantage of full advantage of any supply chain gaps that exist. And there'll be supply chain gaps. You don't need to ask me. You can just look on the internet yourself and you see that there are sufficient gaps. So that's the first part on initiatives. In terms of direct to consumer, you know, this sounds very nice and saying, you know, we'll go to the consumer. We are not a retailer, right? We are a fast moving consumer goods company. We don't believe that we are wired towards to doing a great job of retailing our products to consumers, right? For that, there are retailers. So let me put it to you another way. It's a bit like a retailer saying, I can do private labels and I don't need branded goods. The answer is hogwash. It can't happen. A retailer can have his or her own private labels, but they need us too. Right? Just as we need retailers. right? So I think if a company is choosing, any company for that matter, is choosing to try and go direct to consumer, good luck to them. That is not, in our view, that is not our core strength. Our core strength is selling branded consumer goods, selling them at a premium so that we can make a good margin and have a nice profitable business. Okay. So we are not in the business of retailing. So many companies will do it, and you know, it obviously sounds nice, it sounds sexy, and you know that you're connected and you're wired to today's digital world, but it's different. There's a lot that goes into running a e-commerce business or any direct retail business. Okay. And the last is on edible oil. I think the answer is there for you to read, right? I obviously am not going to make any comment on it. You can see that the crystal business is giving you a clear idea that there is about 1,000 basis points plus increase in sunflower oil prices between last year first 2 months and the first 2 months of this year, right? Because crystal is the only sunflower oil. We don't sell any other oil under crystal, right? You can equally see that in the Sunrock portfolio, there is a huge swing towards premium edible oils. In other words, we are selling on a weighted basis a much greater share of premium edible oils in this, right? That if we compromise the volume, we've probably done it on the lower end, right? So I would say it's going to be a balance between these two. By the end of the quarter, we'll be able to report back to you by 30th of July on exactly, you know, how did this net out? Was it a positive? Was it a negative? Whatever, right? But I think from a overall P&L perspective, I think we're in good shape. This kind of a food growth, particularly in ready-to-cook snacks, spreads, breakfast cereals, is nice. It's good. It's good profitable growth. And at the same time, in the P&L, we are, you know, obviously taking advantage of the current scenario, and in anticipation of certainly some amount of economic slowdown as we go forward, we manage to control costs. So let's see what the end result of that is going to be. Okay. But thank you all. Very good question. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Sampat, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sachi.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Yeah, So first question is on our channel. I mean, are we facing any payment problems in the traditional channel? And going forward, will our channel mix remain the same, or you think we will shift more to modern trade and e-commerce? Second question is on our CapEx. Now, we have 54 crores of CapEx waiting to happen. After this COVID, do you think our composition will change towards more ready to cook, or will it go as planned as what you were planning before this? And we are planning one more new ready to cook product sometime later. Are you going to prepone that because of the increased demand in ready to cook products? And the last question is on our raw material. I believe that corn and sunflower oil prices are down by 15-20% this quarter. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. So, are we going to get some benefit, or, I mean, we had stock, old stock, which is higher priced, and is the information correct that raw material prices are down? That's all.
Anything else, Vipul?
No, that's all.
Okay, so I'll take your raw material one first, since it's last. The answer is no. Remember what I mentioned to you just now? I said the difference between volume decline and value growth of crystal is primarily due to price increase of sunflower oil. Okay? So if you want to understand what is the increase in sunflower oil cost, all you have to do is look at the crystal chart. It will give you a fair idea of what is the increasing cost. Okay? Now, I'll come to the other part. In terms of, do we see any threat of payments in the traditional channel? The answer is no. Right? You've got to remember one thing, that this is actually the time when the traditional trade has performed very well. Right? Because the last mile delivery of the traditional trade has been outstanding. It has been way better than the modern trade, if you will, right? The modern trade, brick and mortar, has really suffered, right? Because they took a lot of time to start opening up. Even after they opened up, it took some time to get their overall act together, right? So certainly, I think the traditional trade has performed very well. And we see no reason actually in the long term that traditional trade, the situation on traditional trade will change dramatically, right? Because from our perspective also, traditional trade is very important. Not to say that modern trade is not, but traditional trade is important, right? So, if anything, I would say that probably we get more distributor queries, meaning people wanting to be our distributors today than was the case 6 months ago, right? Obviously, that's partly due to our portfolio, right? Because we have a nice spread of portfolio. We've got a whole lot of these ready-to-cook products, we've got staples, we've got confectionery. So, they are very attractive business for a distributor today, which is altogether a good thing, right? So, long and short, answer is, no, we don't see any threat of, in the traditional trade of any payment issues. In terms of CapEx, then your actually, this question is related to advancement of anything in ready to cook. You're right. The answer is yes. We don't know for how long people are going to spend more time at home, but, it would be, if you will, not very smart on our part to assume that it's going to end tomorrow morning, right? It's going to take, it's going to be a while, right? So if that is the case, it certainly gives us the opportunity to if you will, bring forward some of the other launches in ready to cook. We talked about it. You're absolutely right, and we'll have to see how quickly we can advance it, right? So we are not in the camp of doing new things because there is coronavirus. If you say, okay, we will launch another 2 products like this to take advantage of the situation, right? Now, that's not our style. Our style is, this is the strategy, this is the portfolio that we have. We need to get the products right, right? We will not launch if the product isn't right. And then as much as we can bring forward, we will bring it forward. So yes, I won't be able to tell you what products they are and how much forward we'll bring them,
But preponing
is on the card. Yeah, 100%. You are absolutely right. It's a very, very, very good observation, okay? And also, we'll see how to scale up sweet corn, right? We'll see how to scale up sweet corn because a lot of sweet corn is to get consumed in malls, in cinema halls. That consumption isn't happening, so people are going to consume it at home. So we are well placed with that. Let's just get the, every new product, there's a business model. It takes time and we'll be working on it. Okay.
Yeah, so and that CapEx, that CapEx thing. I mean, 54 crores is a huge amount because last time you were indicating that your depreciation and CapEx will be almost equal. But our depreciation is around 20 crores and CapEx is 54 crores.
Okay, I'll have to, again, this is a new part, so I'll have to come back to it at the end. Okay, so let me return to it. Okay, thank you. Good question. Okay, Rio, over to you.
Yes, thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Maru from Concept Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on the number of business points we have for RTC, RTE, or oil business. My second question is on what percentage of gross profit comes from food business. My third question is on what kind of inventory buffer do we have on raw material as well as finished goods in our plant? And my fourth question was on CapEx, what the earlier person asked.
No, repeat that last part, Chirag. CapEx, what about it?
That CapEx part question, like how much are you planning for FY21 and how you're seeing it for the next year on CapEx?
No, how much are you planning for FY21 and?
Okay.
I'll try and answer that to the best of my ability. So, on the first question on number of distribution points, as we mentioned to you earlier, our best estimate of our coverage is about, in the region of about 400,000 stores, somewhere between 350,000 and 400,000 stores, towards the higher end of that. And that's been our coverage so far. That won't be our coverage today because there was significant retail contraction, right? But it will come back and we'll build it back up as the country reopens. Within that, our largest distributed product is ready to cook popcorn, which will be in the region of about 250,000 stores. Okay. On percentage of gross profit coming from different lines, we don't give that information. We don't give gross margin by category. We give you the sales breakup, but we don't provide that. Right? However, if you go back in time, I think you'll be able to reconstruct this because there's adequate information available at different points in time. So I apologize for that and I can't give it. In terms of inventory buffer, we keep some amount of corn, right? Because that's our longest lead time. But we don't keep edible oils very much, right? So in other words, we pretty much buy by the month. We buy and consume by the month. We took this decision several years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, that we didn't want to have any mark-to-market risk on corn. And, you know, at that time, we had very, very high limits. I think it was more than 10,000 tons we had a limit for. We reduced that and we said, you know, we'll just buy on a, you know, on a use basis. So we have trucks coming in every day. We don't take long positions in most of our commodities. And even on newer commodities, we prefer in the early stages, like even though peanut butter is still a little, you know, it's a few years old now, at this point in time, we still prefer to buy as per requirement and match it with the purchase cycles, right? Because we don't, as a policy, want to incur, as I said, too much risk on commodity buying. We're not into the business of managing commodities. We want to build a nice branded goods business, and that's what we are pursuing to achieve. All right. And lastly, on CapEx, how much will we spend? I think we will be spending in the region of about, in FY21, probably in the region of about maybe 40 odd crores, something like that. We have a very standard rule as far as capital is concerned. We don't believe that the food business is one which merits an investment by borrowing, right? Because the cost of interest is high. So we're obviously producing a reasonable amount of cash. Our cash flow is very steady. Balance sheet's in good shape. We want to keep enough money for dividend to pay our shareholders. Keep some money in cash and invest at the right time, right? The thing with capital is you want to keep investing for it for growth, right? We are not investing today's capex for a 250 or 300 crore food business. We are investing for a 800,000 crore food business, right? So when you give yourself time, you are able to put it at a very, very low cost and get the right amount of turns from it. That's the most important indicator for us. And if you look at our terms, actually, and if you take out the infrastructure, etc., out of our current gross block, we are getting very good terms. If you look at just our machinery terms on the food business, we get about 1.7 terms. In total, for the entire food business, we get about 1.7 terms on the capital which is deployed behind machinery. I'm excluding the cost of land acquisition and building, right? And that's very close to very, very much older companies who've been around in this country for many, 50, 60 years, who are still at about 2 terms or thereabouts, right? So, we just want to do it the right way and keep facing it out the right way. And our parent company is also committed to that. Okay? Good. Thank you. Roya, we'll get to the next question.
Yes, the next question is from the line of Manish Gandhi, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi Sachin. Firstly, I would like to appreciate the disclosures and you have been making even in today's presentation, especially in such uncertain time. And I have 3 questions. So my first question is, as last few quarters and even the lockdown period, kind of a repetitive, but we have seen tailwinds for the ready-to-cook popcorn. And I have even shared with you some observations regarding the same. Please correct me if I am wrong. We have a great opportunity with OTT and healthy food habits, which anyway was the case before COVID, but now a very high probability of accelerating that trend. So your views on that and what are the company, our strategy would be to capture this huge opportunity at hand? Like we had launched popcorn tub, any other innovation in product or maybe in communication or something like that? The second thing, ready to eat popcorn and nachos, last few quarters, even before lockdown, we were facing few challenges. Can you please share your thoughts on how one should look at ready-to-eat segment after lockdown? And what are the challenges, like including the Unnao plant or any other, to come back to decent growth for the ready-to-eat segment and our strategy for same? And the last one is on amendment of license agreement with Conagra from 1.6 to 2.5%. But I'm curious to know why microwave popcorn product will be additional 1.75. So are there any special products or technology they are bringing, you're bringing from parents, or they are so excited about this product? I just would love to know. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all the feedback that you keep giving and the inputs that you give, which certainly help us to try and, you know, refine our communication to investors. So a lot of those disclosures are, you know, also due to your perseverance. So thank you for that. So I'll answer the last part first on the microwave. See, the history to this is that the microwave popcorn technology actually came to us from Conagra, right? The instant popcorn, which is the sachet, was actually developed by somebody in the local company, which is Agrotech Foods Limited, right? So hence there is a differentiation on those items where we've taken technology from Conagra. We are paying a little more. Okay. From the others, it is only for the brand, right? So no, it is not that Conagra feels that, look, you know, the future is only in microwave popcorn. No, right? I think, you know, it is a given that in a country like India, where, you know, price and value is so important, right, and the ability to deliver that in a very cost-effective manner is so good with instant popcorn, that that will always remain a very, very large priority for us and with the blessing of our company. Now, on the tailwinds for RTG popcorn, 100% is there. It is reflected in the numbers, right? You can see here that we've talked about a 64% growth in May. Part of that is obviously pipeline correction. Consumption went up, right? But even today, we've not, even today, there's more pipelining to do, right? So to give you a perspective, I would say, even today, our own warehouse inventory of food will probably be lower than what they were on the 1st of April by 5 to 6 crores, right? So we are still to, we'll get to know finally what is the actual demand when our own warehouse inventories come, you know, in line with what they were at the beginning of the financial year, right? So we're still supplying. Those tailwinds are there. We actually don't need to do too much by way of new things, right? All we have to do is use this opportunity, which is provided by increased in-home consumption, to invest more behind our brand. Right. So here is the, here's the plot, and this is how it, I think it's going to work out. When you have a higher in-home consumption, and this is true with the, as you can see in these charts with the ready to cook and spreads and breakfast cereals, right? Premium edible oil, these are all profitable businesses, right? So what this is going to do is this is going to raise our consumption base. Okay. So what we have to do when we get this temporary benefit, temporary means I don't know for how long, right, but we get this benefit of an increased consumption base, that we are able to invest behind the business. So it is not that in FY22, this base becomes a noose around our neck, right? Because then you don't want to say, oh, by the way, our consumption in this period was very high because of ABC, right? There are always opportunities in every problem, and we have to see how to leverage those opportunities, right? So those conversations we are having right now, we just need to supply the market, and which we are fully working on. And at the end of the quarter, probably we will also be able to share with you our with more clarity of thought. But all we need to do is invest. We don't need to do a lot of new stuff at this point in time. New things really have to be managed very, very carefully. This is true even in the US. In the US, many companies have gone to the extreme where they said, listen, we're going to supply the trade only ABC SKUs and not other SKUs, because we need to keep the supply chain working very, very efficiently, right? I think that's it. We need to drive consumption, reinvest behind the brands, and that is why our position starting from the beginning of top of March was, at this point in time, we are definitely not going to do lower A&P. We are going to do at least as much as we did last year, and we'll see how we can, you know, how we can enhance that depending on how the margin and the cost structures work out in our P&L. So yes, that's a very important point, and the tailwinds are certainly there. On ready-to-eat popcorn and nachos, I think we are in the process of doing some amount of research. We're going to use this COVID time and the fact that there's been a retail contraction to do somewhat of reset in the business, and let me explain what that is. The traditional way which all of us operate business on is we make at our factory, we ship to our warehouses, let's say 30 odd warehouses depending on the kind of company you are, and then we ship to our distributors. This works well actually at the top end of the stack. It works well in 20 rupees snacks, 30 rupees, 50 rupees, 60 rupees. It actually doesn't work very well in 5 and 10 rupees snacks, right? But there's no other way because that's the way all our systems are wired. So if you look at all the back snacks players who compete primarily in 5 rupee price point, their model is clear. It's full truckloads to the customer. You produce at the factory. It's like any commodity business. Even commodity oils work in the same manner, right? So, they say, look, we can't afford the cost of shipping from our Kashipur warehouse to the Delhi warehouse, Kashipur factory to Delhi warehouse, and then shipping to a Delhi distributor. You can probably reach a Delhi distributor in the same amount of money that you can from Kashipur because you're spending it in the right size of truck. So we are just in the process of looking at this along with the Unnao and Chittoor plants. Why are these important and why this timing is very good for us is that Chittoor will enable us to give us very, very good reach in South India, barring Kerala, right? Unnao will give us a very, very good reach in UP. And these are actually the states with some of the largest number of towns in the country, right? So we'll be able to undertake a significant town expansion, and that reconfiguration of this business that we are currently in the process of doing is also one of the thing items that we needed to do. So you're absolutely right. This category is the hardest hit by COVID-19, but we ourselves are struggling. Of all the categories, this is the one category where our business model hasn't quite fallen into place. And it got further exacerbated with the Unnao fire. But Tashut, that's behind us now. These plants will come on stream and we'll keep you updated on what we are doing. Right? It's a complex model. We need bag snacks. It's the architect. It's the conveyor belt of our entire distribution system. Right? But we need to manage it right such that the cost of managing it is very low and we are able to get all the benefits of our most premium price products. Okay? So thank you. Thank you for asking that and all your help. Okay. Reo, last question, partner.
Sure. We'll be able to take the last question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Srini and Sachin. I hope everyone at Agrotech Food is safe and healthy. I have three questions. The first question is that what is the peak turnover we can expect from Unnao and Chittoor, and what are the products which are manufactured? Second is that in the four products, new products what we have launched, in a 3 to 5 years horizon, which looks more promising? And third, on corn inventory, what is the current inventory and what are the price movement we are seeing within this quarter or going forward?
Okay, thank you, Shirish. It's appropriate that yours is the last question. Yeah, last question at the least. Thank you for your question also. We're all good and I hope you're all fine too. Okay. So, Unnao and Chittoor plants, I'll give you an answer on the products that you're going to make in this. They are going to make all the three products. They're going to make tortilla chips, they're going to make ready-to-eat popcorn, and they're going to make extruded snacks. Right? Unnao will also make breakfast cereals. So the product portfolio is reasonably similar between these two plants. Right? And what is the peak turnover? It would depend, right? These are both these products are wired for significant, if you will, scaling up, right? So I don't think the turnover will be is an issue. I mean, these two plants probably could produce multiples of the current turnover that we have of bag snacks, right? But the reason for existence of these products is not just turnover, right? As I keep repeating, the reason for our existence in bag snacks is that we need to have a presence in a category, and that's the largest category, right? Bag snacks about 35,000 crore. Where our distributors make money, where we are able to be an attractive proposition to them. In terms of 3 to 5 year horizon, honestly, Shirish, all of them are looking good. Okay, let me give you our learnings. Right, all four I think are doing well. Sweet corn is certainly scalable. Right, however, just like chocolate confectionery is new to us, sweet corn is also new to us. So from a margin profile, it's not as attractive as say chocolate spreads and breakfast cereals. Right, okay. Similarly, chocolate confectionery is all new to us. We've had a great launch. We've captured a nice niche as far as coconut-based chocolate confectionery is concerned. But we don't understand the business that well. So again, the margin profile, it's not that attractive today. We have to work towards making it happen. The other two categories are also very attractive in terms of revenue terms. They're both They are both capable of, all of them are capable of being 100, 150 crore businesses, right? At least, right? But these have the advantage unlike the other two, meaning that breakfast cereals and chocolate spreads have the advantage unlike the other two categories that they are already, we already immersed in these categories. We are already immersed in the spreads category, right? So we understand chocolate spreads, we understand fat blowing, caps, there's a lot of things that are common with peanut butter, right? So we therefore it's inherently profitable right from the word go. Ditto for extruded cereals, even though we are a breakfast cereal company, we understand the process of extrusion, right? And that's important, right? Because once you get capabilities in those areas, you are able to therefore, and your plant has already been running, right? So you get support, right? There are things that are different, but there are also things that are common. So you naturally make money from day one, and it plays to our retail distribution infrastructure. Right? Plus, of course, the fact that we have chocolate capability, so we are able to get a competitive advantage there. So I would say, Shirish, all four categories, great categories. Immediate near term, however, breakfast cereals and chocolate spreads likely to be more profitable. On sweet corn and chocolate confectionery, we still have work to do in terms of getting the margin structures right. Okay? So thank you. Vaishnavi, I guess over to you.
Sachin, on corn inventory.
Oh, sorry. I apologize, Shirish. So, Shirish, you were between 6 and 9 months of inventory at any point in time. Okay. Sorry. My bad. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question.
Okay, so I just want to say thank you to everybody for dialing in. Thank you for waiting patiently over the weekend for the call. But we hope it made more sense to you since you now have adequate visibility of exactly where we are. Have a great month and we look forward to talking to you in the third week of July. Cheers. Bye. Thank you, Vaishnavi. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.